Hey guys, welcome to episode 16 of Simple Ken. It is a pleasure to be with you guys. Hopefully your week was good. Obviously the world is gone to shit, but it's quite amazing how when the pandemic first happened, I thought everything would change, like nothing would be the same. For example, I thought the news would only be about pandemics, right? Like, how else could you talk about, how could you get bored of a global pandemic was my first reaction. And my second reaction was like, why would anyone choose anything over the safety of their own life? Right? Like, it seemed bizarre to me why, obviously if you're forced to work, you have to work. But if you had a job and you had some savings and you could afford to not go work for 6 months, that you would not leave your house for any reason because you're like, dude, I want to live. But obviously, that's not happened, which is quite... I'm not saying those who do other stuff than worry about the pandemic are wrong. Or even the opposite is kind of extreme, to only think about the pandemic. But it's very interesting how fast we adapt to anything. We adapted to a global pandemic. Like, it's nothing. They just announced that in Bangalore, all the bars and restaurants are open. And I have nothing to say because I'm like, yeah, I'm sure the bars and restaurants are getting screwed. And everyone's really... really bored, but at the same time, there's a pandemic going on. How do you just, I don't know, man. Also, you know, everyone's telling me about the recovery rate being so high and, you know, it's not fatal. So if you're young, there's no consequences to it. I live with my parents, right? So I, right now in Bangalore, so I obviously have to be way more careful than the usual gang. And I think at this point, we can safely say we know someone who's got COVID, or we know someone who knows someone who's got COVID, which, again, I thought would take some time to get used to. But I wasn't aware when that threshold also got crossed. Touch wood, I hope it doesn't happen to you. But if it does, from what I've heard so far, it's pretty manageable, thankfully. Or maybe I'm also in a bubble and some of you don't have access to medical care, which is sad. And I don't know why I'm going into this zone, but I just wanted to tell you what I felt. I'm very happy it's episode 16. Again, not too bad with the gaps with the episode. Not too bad. Could be worse. Now I'm going to take some questions. I have two questions from Instagram and around a couple of them from YouTube. So the first question is let me get to the questions because this is why we came for bros. I also like how in the beginning when I started the show, everyone was like, maybe you should stick to a topic, and I didn't want to, and now everyone likes the fact that I talk about so many things in one episode, and so do I. You know, I think it's a futile attempt to just talk about one thing for like 30-40 minutes, but I like the questions. They cover a vast gamut. Again, I'm getting questions about how I choose a question. It's just a blessing. Like, I made this show, there's no sponsors, and I'm producing it, so I literally choose questions that I like, and it's like, it piques my interest. Okay, this question I took up because I need to talk about from my perspective. So Manish Sharma says, I want to know how you feel when your fans make your portraits. What is your reaction seeing your self-portraits? Is it overwhelming or is it normal? Because people drawing you isn't that common, because sometimes you might not like it. Or just be like the eyes or nose is not right. But it's kind of rude also to see someone's effort and pointing out the flaws in it. Completely agree. You have a painting degree yourself. Know how much time and effort it goes into it. But I would love to know, what's your immediate reaction? How you compliment people if you do? ? Wow. Wow. You think I don't compliment people? I think in normal situation, you can give people feedback on their work. But telling a fan the same might sound rude. It's not the same. What are your views? Thanks for reading. You're amazing. So sweet, Manya. I think you kind of answered the question yourself. There's a difference between like giving feedback when someone does art versus it's a gift. And I think it's really a unique and thoughtful gift, because if you're a fan of my work and you come for a show, you can't give me something based on price or value, because that's kind of stupid, right? And you don't know what I like. But give me a gift that's irreplaceable is like a portrait or a drawing of me, and I really enjoy them. And there have been honestly moments where it looks nothing like me, but I'm like, that doesn't matter. It honestly, it could be the, sometimes like the portraits are incredible, like it's mind-boggling, but most of the times it's someone who's not a professional artist making it, and I'm just happy and humbled that most of the time I tell them, why did you waste your time? But I know it's coming from love. But because I know how much time it takes to draw something, and it's a very thankless job. And drawing a face, a human face, is the hardest thing in art. I mean, in terms of, if you're a beginner, realism is pretty hard. It's not a sign of true creativity, but it is very, very hard. So drawing like a nose is, everyone's tried to draw a face, and at the nose is when you give up. And eyes, everyone thinks that their quality of eye drawing is very high, but then it's not. I think nose is the point where everyone gives up. I mean, I've not even seen people reach the hair stage when you draw the hair. Most people stop by the hair stage. So yeah, also, I'm very lucky. I've been getting these portraits since quite some time now. And I remember the first time I got like a fan greeting card, I was like, wow, thank you. And I used to collect all of it. And I think after a while, it became a problem. Like, I had hordes and hordes of cards. So it became quite a big problem because it's attached to all of it. Now, I hate to say this, it's kind of normalized. You know, I guess I don't value it as much as before. Because to be honest, more than the drawing, I'm actually very, very, very happy to just meet you. I think the best fan interactions are when I meet someone after a show or in person, and they kind of tell me a very specific story. Even on Instagram, I get these wonderful messages about how watching my stuff with their parents is a way for them to spend quality time, or have you and your friend watch my stuff together, or you guys bond over something. Or, for example, Star Boys, it was a very South Indian thing, so they could connect with it. You know, like, stuff like that is so, so amazingly overwhelming that I don't need a greeting card or a drawing. Not that I don't love it. It's very nice, but it's just, that's enough for me. So anything beyond that is just a gift. You know what? To be honest, I don't fully wrap my head around it, because it is quite insane that someone likes me so much that they drew a picture of me and gave it to me. That is quite incredible. And I think it scares me. There's a mosquito here. It scares me how much love and admiration people have for me. And I don't think any person can fully understand it. And it freaks me out sometimes. So I think I choose to just be like, no, none of this is real. Thank you, sweet person, for giving me something. But I don't want to delve into the obsession or the commitment you have given a stranger like me. And I know what you would say, that I don't feel like a stranger because you watch me so much on YouTube. But that's not true as well, right? Because I choose to show you a side. And you definitely don't know. I mean, people who know me don't truly know me, right? So, but I feel, yeah, I think we all know that. Let's just spread some freaking laughs and smiles, and you know, just make a day slightly better. And if I've contributed to that, that's awesome, because that was the intention. The intention is to never upset you. You know, when sometimes in YouTube videos, I get a comment, like my favorite is the Arijit Singh video where I'm imitating him. And to be honest, I have nothing against him, obviously. And he's seen the video and he finds it funny. But people get so offended on his behalf. And I'm like, Maja, I would not want to put a video to piss you off, or to tell you that your favorite singer is bad. I just want to make you laugh. And also, most of it is clickbait, right? Like, biggest clickbait is why I don't do jokes on politics. And I mean, it is what the video is. But it's like, ooh, why doesn't he? And that was the premise of the bit, because I got that question so many times. My opinion has changed. My opinion has gone up from why I don't talk about politics to talking about politics to there is no hope. I'm sorry, I'm so pessimistic. But I mean, that is honestly how I feel. And I hope things get better, but I don't know, man. So again, thank you, Manya, for that question. It is basically, in summary, I don't fully introspect because it's scary, the attention. Hi, Kenny, love your show. This is my question. I'm very proud of all of you guys not calling it a podcast or calling it a long recording of me talking. You guys are good learners, fast learners. Whenever I start talking to a new person, be that a friend or a dating partner or whoever it is, I'm immediately looking out for flaws in them or a negative aspect of them, and I don't know why I keep doing that. But that's something I constantly keep checking out for. I don't know if it's because something I've had in my past, 100% it's something in your past, or just something I keep doing with people I meet. I always do that, and even the slightest of the thing, it may be very small, like they've mispronounced a word, or the way they eat, or the way they dress. It just disappoints me so much that I don't ever want to talk to them again. Honestly, it's quite annoying that I cannot ever meet a new person because I know I'm going to check out their flaws. Is this a common thing? Do you do this or is it just me? So I'm not going to take your name because this question does make you come across as extremely narcissistic and self-obsessed, which I think is the problem. I mean this in the nicest way, but holy crap, like someone, the way they talk or mispronounce or like to the level that you don't want to talk to them again. I understand, see, you're allowed to be, you're allowed to feel shit. You're allowed to not like someone's face, but to the point that you don't want to talk to them. That's okay. Also, I feel like you might be getting too much attention. Every time I become unreasonable and I'm acting like a diva, it's because I think I'm more important than I am. And I've had rude realizations of my ego when I'm like, why is this affecting me so much? This is stupid. And it's usually when I'm kind of just focusing on what I want. So I think you genuinely are in a bubble and you think you're really... I know this sounds really mean, but I think it's very worrying. I'm so glad that you're aware of this. That's great. So there's a sliver of hope that you'll change. But it comes from always being given most... Always being the most interesting. No. Always being the person who's given the most attention in any scenario. I'm guessing you must be from a city or a college and you happen to be the most attractive or the most extroverted in your group. So you think that how can there be something wrong with you? I just want to let you know that there are a lot of things that you do which are annoying to other people. But other people are kind and they understand that people are people. Also, now there's a pandemic, so you can't even hang out with other people. But I think try to change your friend circle. Try this. Try to be with people who are more attractive than you or more intelligent than you. And try hang out with people who are not like you. And I think that's when you'll realize that looks and small minor things like how they talk is like super small. And like people are so different from you. A bunch of aunties just walked by. And they just gave me the kya kar rahi hai look. So I had to be quiet. If you just hang out with people that you're not so bored of, hang out with people that are really like who you think are better than you, I think you'll kind of humble out, you know, and feel slightly better. I think like when I started meeting huge stars and huge people who have achieved a lot and how calm and cooperative and non-fussy they are and kind of puts you in your place. So, but you know, good job on recognizing there's a disgusting worm on my dad's scooter. Ugh, it's that worm with that hair on it. Ugh. Oh, God. You need to stop looking at it. Anyway, thank you for your question. But I hope you kind of expand. Oh man, I can't stop looking at a stupid ass worm. It's just looking around. Oh God. Oh, it freaks me out. It's the texture of it. That's kind of... You know, the millipede centipede seems better than this hairy one. Freaks me out. Shifa Manav's question is, hope you and your family are doing well. Thank you for asking, Shifa. Hope your family is good as well. I find your answers very practical and convincing. Oh, I don't know how to convince you. So I want to ask about your view on problems faced by doctors in India. Doctor-patient conflict happens almost every day. The patients brought to the emergency are almost in critical condition, mostly in critical condition. The doctors do all they can to save every precious life, but some deaths are inevitable. The relatives of patients often undergo emotional outbursts and abuses are hurled at the life savior. And what follows next are physical assaults on the doctor at duty, claiming negligence on doctor's part. Also in this pandemic, it's much worse. They're treated badly as ever possible. As a medical student, the current situation is frightening us like anything. Tons of exams, sleepless nights, limited pleasure times. Ooh. Molding ourselves into a better doctor and what we are getting in return. Curious to hear from you and thanks, Uri. Shiva, like, I've always had a big, I mean, obviously, I think most people do, a lot of respect for doctors and I think it's a very thankless job. I also just stand a bit on it.
I can't blame it. That's why doctors, if you notice, only marry other doctors. Yeah, because you have to keep the insanity in the same community. Yes, so they procreate and they disappear. I feel emotions, computing. But I don't blame them, you know, because they don't have time. Like medical students is studying all the time, crying, you know, they don't have time. People who do have time can't find love anywhere, right? They don't have time, so how will they find love? Where do they find love? In a hospital. So they find love in a hopeless place. Yeah. It's very easy to find love like in conducive environments, like a wedding. Wedding is lovely. You go to a wedding, everyone's happy, there's flowers, there's music. So you're like, even I want. This is nice. I don't want to do the work, but I want this. Where do you get? Where is the stall? Is there a stall? Is there a stall? Where do doctors have to find love? In the hospital, right? And the hospital environment is into 4,000. While they're like wheeling in a body with like blood everywhere, two doctors like, oh, hi.
And most doctors liked it. You know what's funny? Non-doctors got offended. Anyway, that's a whole rabbit hole. Shiva, the short answer for this is I have no idea what the point is of being a doctor, especially when the government treats you like shit and everyone treats you like shit. There's no incentive at all to be a doctor. I completely agree. Even when there wasn't a pandemic, I'm always like amazed that anyone would dedicate most of their lives to one field and have such a hectic, you know, work, hectic life. This work-life balance is just almost non-existent. Obviously, you make a lot of money, you have high status in society. I'm like, thank God, at least that's there. But right now, I don't even see that happening. And yeah, I don't have an answer for you. And obviously, emotional outbursts are unavoidable, right? To be honest, like, I don't think anyone who's not a doctor can't wrap their head around how do you guys deal with death on a constant basis. And also, like, you know, what tends to happen is if you can save someone's life, it's a baby truck, it's an auto truck. You know what happens is, like, if you can save someone's life, I thought about this. We are like, yo, if you can save someone's life, how could you not figure this out? I mean, that's how a dumb person sounds, right? It's kind of like asking scientists, like, you figured out the Big Bang. Why haven't you figured out who started the Big Bang? Like, dude, it's just a miracle that we even figured out that there was a Big Bang. Same thing. I think it's a miracle that we figured out how to save people's life. But to be like, but why can't you figure this other stuff out is quite, it's basically a dumb people talk. So, yeah, I think it's almost magic. It's right. Good technology is undiscernible from magic, right? I don't know. I'm just butchering that saying. Same way, I think medicine is undiscernible from magic for most of us. So I think when, like, I heard this horrible story about a lady who died during childbirth, and it's 2020, right? So, I'm saying that with arrogance. Like in 2020, like a woman dying of childbirth, when she's in the hospital, is quite insane, right? But I'm sure if you're a doctor, immediately you're like, okay, I'm sure there's a very good reason why she went through that and passed away. Or maybe it was genuinely a tragedy. Or so I'm saying, like, from a layman's point of view, we're always going to be like, what? How did this happen? There has to be negligence. So I'm sorry, but the answer is, Shifa, that people are always going to be dumb, and you guys are always going to be saving lives and not not going to be rewarded for it. So I know this is horrible. I'm sorry. I hope some doctor who's watching, future doctors watching, is not shattered. But I just want to, what I'm basically saying is that you guys are heroes. And thank you so much for doing this. There's so many selfless jobs that I don't even know about. Just the person who's managing our drainage system. Thank you so much. And electricity and roads and bridges. And even though our government is eating all of that money through corruption and shit, the people who are doing, you know, the people in this current government who's actually doing good things and they're getting no benefit out of it, and they're watching their colleagues just enjoy because of corruption, and they're just like, why am I doing this? I don't know why you're doing this one, but thank God you are. At least someone is honest. So I'm sorry, Shifa, for depressing you even more. Also, you asked a comedian about woes of a doctor. This worm has come back. Someone's mocking me, dude. And I'm going to take a video of this worm so you guys have an idea of what I'm seeing. This freaking... Yeah, can you see him? It's just the worst. Yeah, he's very annoyingly disgusting. I'm sorry for this. What's next question? Guys, I don't do worms well, guys. I just look at worms, it freaks me out. Okay, so Vishal Chandne says, hello, Kenny. My question is, how to avoid negative thinking all the time? I started doing stand-up in December and I'm doing good actually, but I feel terrible when my jokes don't work. Somehow I go through a lot of negativity. Edit, I forgot to say, loads of love, Kenny. You're my forever favorite. That's so sweet. You don't have to say that. I almost feel like you're beating me into choosing your question by saying you love me. Okay, I know this question sounds very simple, but I took this question because a lot of people think that because I've reached this point in my career that I don't have to like bomb anymore. Every joke you hear that I post as a stand-up clip has gone through a lot of open micing. And it's a job you can't take for granted. It's just impossible. It's not even, it's built that way. If you take it for granted, your set will bomb. And you're like, no, Kenny, people are coming to laugh because they love you. I mean, obviously, that's partly true. And I'm very grateful for that. But that only lasts for 5 minutes, man. Like, after a while, they're like, And also, people see other comedy and there are great comics around and they have better options as well. So I have to really make their money's worth, right? So, and the reason I took this, Vishal, is because I think if you don't feel negative and low when you're doing stand-up, then there's something wrong with you. Stand-up is the most, man, it's the most depressing thing because you're putting yourself out there and you get rejected, right? And the rejection is completely faced by you. It's not like a play or a movie or a song where you have band members or a crew or other actors to share the guilt with. It's just you. It's your failure and it's your success. Sorry, excuse me for that burp. So it's a lot of negativity and it's okay to feel negative. If you didn't, that means you're going to be a bad comic because that means you don't care. You should really care. You should be really upset when your jokes don't work because it's because you're a comedian and you need to have jokes and the problem is very subjective, right, Vishal? If they don't laugh at your jokes, maybe you need to try it out with a bigger sample size. That's why when we shoot a special, we shoot it with so many different audiences that we find the average type of jokes that are working with everybody. And also, there are many, like for example, in my special, what I did was I put segments for different types of audiences. There are segments for parents, segments for women, segments for men, segments for young kids, segments for the whole family. And I was kind of attached to all of them, but what kind of ends up happening, it's very polarizing. Like some segments are like, oh, I love this segment, and this other segment like, why is he doing this? It's because that segment is not for you, right? And the best I can do is keep it in the middle, because that's what I want. I want kind of everyone to have something from it. Well, the another approach is to make it very specific, like this, these jokes are just for you, and that audience will love it, and the other audience will be like, I don't get it. So there are many approaches, and I go for the approach which is, I like making everyone in the room laugh, something for everybody, because that's what I associate stand-up with or jokes with. Yeah, I'm saying, Vishal, like, every joke involves failure. And the day the joke is not failing anymore is the day you release it from you and into YouTube or into any streaming platform of your choice. And that's the irony. Like, I call it the day the comedian starts enjoying the joke is when the audience doesn't enjoy the joke. And the day the comedian stops enjoying the joke is when the audience enjoys the joke. Because when you love the joke is not ready. Like, it's too long or weird and the audience is like, what? But you're having so much fun because it's new to you. And when finally it's ready, you're sick and tired of it. But the audience is like, man, how do you think of this perfect tight? So Vishal, it's going to be a lifetime of negativity. But that's the joy of it. It wouldn't be so rewarding if it wasn't so hard. And for the people who think they understand stand-up without doing it at all, or understand a career in stand-up and kind of dismiss a comedian because they didn't find it funny or they didn't get it, man, that's like really basic thinking. I think most comedians never take this shit for granted because it's such a horrible path, man. And it can never let you relax. You could be, as I was saying, right, you could be the most famous comedian in the world, but if you don't have good jokes that night, an open micer could bring the house down. And you look like an idiot. And that's not a pleasant situation. And you can't hide from that. You can't be delusional about that. Because the whole room is laughing more for someone else. And it's a good thing that someone's doing well. But at the same time, you're always on edge. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that, man. Yes. I'm losing sunlight. Anyway, Kirtana gave me the most badass answer on Instagram. So I just thought I'll share with you. It's not a question. She's like, hi Kenny, this is the plastic surgeon who disappointed you on Simple Ken. Once again. Well, I'm not an evolutionary biologist, but I've been through 12 years of medical school. Okay, flex. So I hope you consider me qualified enough to answer your question. Well, hair is not completely vestigial in humans. Apart from its tremendous role in aesthetics, hair follicles contain sweat glands and maintain body temperature. You're definitely right there. Also, the reason why an abrasion on your body heals by itself is because the hair follicles regenerate your lost skin. Something even I learned after becoming a reconstructive surgeon only. That is insane. Your hair follicles regenerate your skin? A rational explanation as to why we didn't lose butt hair completely, while it's not essential to survival, in humans could be because there is no distinct evolutionary pressure working against it. Ah, that means that if more idiots are alive, it's because we're letting them survive. Oh, that sounds like genocide. Anyway. Which simply means having a hairy butt did not prevent humans from procreating. I mean, I think for some people it did. Consequently, the genes responsible for it never got eliminated. This is some sweet, sweet evolutionary juices, okay? This is pretty much like why we still have an appendix. Oh, which doesn't serve any purpose except causing trouble once in a while. That's a great example. So appendix, butt hair, got it. To ease your disappointment and from a plastic surgical point of view, I could put your body hair to best use by replanting them somewhere else on your body. Like, for example, some men get body hair transplants onto their chest to make it more hairy and appear more masculine. These are definitely not malus. Wow, I didn't know that. The simple reason why it won't work for your scalp is that the transplanted hair will grow in the same way and look the same as it did in its native area. So imagine how unnatural it looks on your scalp. That's another thing. I always was like, why is my armpit hair different from my head hair? Is different from my beard hair? Is different from my chest hair? Quite cool. The simple reason... Oh, okay. So imagine how unnatural it looks on your scalp. Lastly, the future of medicine lies in stem cell therapy, and hair is a storehouse of stem cells. Ooh! Somewhere in the future, we could be making entire organs out of hair follicle stem cells. Oh, that's weird. Okay. Sorry, I couldn't make the explanation shorter than this. Oh, you are so good at writing, Kirtana. Thank you so much. Thank you for reading out my message in your podcast. It came as a pleasant surprise. And I'm based in Bangalore. I work in Victoria Hospital. So I'll be glad to help you out in any way I can. Noise! It's always good to have some doctor friends. You need to get a good doctor, a good mechanic, and a good lawyer. That's what they say. I have two now. I need to get a good mechanic. I used to have one. So I'll be glad to help you out in any way I can. Don't hesitate to ask for any medical queries or help. Even though I sincerely hope you and your family would never need any medical help. That's so sweet. Glad that your father recovered fully. Take care and bye. That's so cool. That's why I love Simplecan. Guys, I have a confession to make. I don't want Simplecan to become too big. And I know this sounds weird and sounds very privileged, but I like how small and tight-knit this community is. I think it has like 2,000 followers on Instagram and around 12,000 followers on Spotify and around 5,000. It's around like a good like 30, 40,000 roughly. Okay, let's say 10,000 proper followers of it. And that's a huge number. Imagine 10,000 people in a stadium. And I think that's enough. And I'm very happy with this. Because I get to have like these cute conversations. And yeah, I'm just very grateful to this for this show. It makes me feel less scared again. Because I think after a while, the attention is too much. And I know it sounds so weird, right? But it's all I ever wanted. But this is like the one thing where... Yeah, it's very pure. There's no... I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying I'm very happy. Anyway, last question of the show. I am Ishwar underscore Raj says, Kenny, quick question. What are your thoughts on motivational books, videos, motivational IG pages, and all that stuff? The reason I took this question is, again, to reiterate the fact, I like self-help books. Like, self-help is a category, by the way. It's not a... That I'm insane, I need help. Like business management and personality development, and those are like self-help, that's a category. I like them because they kind of give you an objective view, like, hey, here's the situation and here's how I got out of it. I like those books. I don't like, hey, this is how you could get out of it, or these are the laws of how to get your life. I like it though. I like looking at motivation stuff, but it's, I like looking at people who have achieved something. So, like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, Steve Jobs even. I mean, these are like some basic-ass names, but Tim Ferriss, Guy Kawasaki. These guys have like achieved stuff in their life. So, when they talk about how they did what they did, I'm like, okay, this might be helpful as a perspective. But if a person's only job is to motivate, and their career came out of motivating people, and they have followers because they told their followers how to get more followers, which in return gave them more followers. Like Robin Sharma, man, biggest scam. I mean, I, if you like him, I'm sorry. If he helped you, I can't take that away. But I don't like people like that. That's just my. You ask me a question, bro. I'm just answering. And the reason I don't like motivational books and videos is sometimes people think that's enough when they have a terrible situation in their life. Like some motivation shit is so destructive. Like, just be the way you are. If they can't accept you for how you are, then blah, 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 blah. Or wherever you are in your life, it's okay. Your time will come. I think that's very vague and very not helpful. And, it's not true. Like, you have to actively participate in your life to see changes. You have to be actively involved in your life and be aware. Because otherwise, fuck, your life just will go to shit. And that's the natural tendency of your brain. Your natural tendency of your brain is to conserve energy. So if you just don't do shit, your brain's super happy. It doesn't like to be challenged. It doesn't like to use energy. Your body doesn't like to use energy. So if you... That's why working out is so hard. And people think that people who work out or people who read books or learn new skills must enjoy it. No, your brain hates it. Your body hates it. It just wants to conserve energy all the time. So, yeah. So it's... I have a love-hate relationship. But, you know, if you're having a bad day and there's a video saying, this will motivate you, and then it does... You know, great. But I think kind of check the credentials of the person you are getting inspired by. For example, I'm a comedian, so I listen to interviews of comedians who I think are successful from my definition of success. While if you are an engineer or a doctor, I think it makes sense to listen or read books written by a person in your field, because that's who succeeded according to you. Yeah, I think that's what I like. Thanks for the question, man. Really appreciate it. That brings to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you had a good time. It's 5:40. Oh my God, I'm late for my workout, guys. It's time for my workout. Also, chai I missed. Let's see if my mom will give me some nice chai. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you want to. Even iHeartRadio. I hope you had a good time listening and hope you have a good week ahead. Please, please leave your questions on Instagram or on YouTube and use the hashtag SimpleKen so I know it's a question for me. Because sometimes if you don't put the hashtag, I'm going to assume it's just a comment for the video and not a question. And yeah, thank you so much. And again, thank you for letting me know how many of you listen to it and watch it. Whatever you do, hope it's worth your time. Okay. This was fun. I'll see you guys later, guys. Ta-ta, bye-bye.